What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Roger and Stone Show. Today's guest, we were supposed to do Too Fat Fox, but my co-host wasn't feeling it, and I don't blame him. It was a weird day. Fortunately, he brought in a guest who was just going to sit in, and we ended up having actually a really good conversation on really music, the internet, and other little things. Very wise gentleman, another guy I actually wouldn't mind seeing start his own podcast. He does got a good voice for it. And, I don't know, I think it would be fun, especially with the field that he works in. We talked a little bit about that as well. Very interesting man, John Hall. Actually known John for quite a bit of time. Never really knew him personally, just knew him from parties, knew his first name, knew what he did, knew what instrument he played. But today we kind of broke it down. It was kind of a last minute thing because we were actually sitting in the podcast room having a beer, and the conversation just started taking off and it got really interesting. And I'm just like, fucking time out. Let's put this on a fucking podcast. This is getting good. So we just stopped for a second. I hit record and we picked it up from there, and it just kind of skyrocketed. And it was pretty fucking awesome. I mean, we had to pause for a quick second because Wayne was going to come in to do the Roger and Stone, Wayne Cooks, I guess. That also took a shit, but whatever. Still turned out to be a great podcast. Still turned out to be a great night. So yeah, this is John Hall with Jim Light. Jim Lightdick. He hates it when I call him that. From my co-host on Too Fat Fox, or I'm his co-host on Too Fat, however the fuck it goes. But anyway, John Hall and Jim are in the studio. Hope you enjoy. Bert Kreischer's got a good fat guy body.
Is that the machine?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So what are we doing?
I would love to see him live.
Welcome to Roger and Stone.
And this is that. Welcome to Roger and Stone. I'm not Jim.
I'm not Roger.
With guests sitting in. Senor John Hall. We were just talking about music, and a good topic came up, and I just kind of figured, how come we don't have the fucking mics on right now? But
it happens.
We were basically talking about how the internet killed the music industry. Now, what were you saying that the music that was going on?
Yeah, so
I would say. John's got a great fucking voice for this, whether he knows it or not.
I wouldn't say the whole music industry as a whole. I mean, it definitely crippled them, put a crutch on them, but. Especially the local scene. Like I said, like when we were growing up in the 20s, there was a scene. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. If you had a good band, there was a scene. There was.
When he says the 20s, he means like when we were 20 years old, not in the 1920s.
Right.
This was before women could vote.
Segregation, all that stuff. We had separate drinking fountains.
Yeah. But yeah.
But no, yeah, like when we were in our, you know, back in the early 2000s, if you had a good band, you had a good chance of, you know, drawing a crowd, and it's mm-hmm. like having a scene.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have, like, you know, you have social media now that created, like, antisocial situations. People mm-hmm. don't go out anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Well, video, Netflix, too.
Well, right. it's more along the lines that, you know, if let's say I meet a new girl off a dating website, which I've just fucking given up on, and I want to call them because, let's say I'm...
You're on what, Grindr?
Yeah. When I say girl, I mean guy with a fat dick. no, like, and I'm driving because, you know, I'm a truck driver. So if I'm like, I can't text, let me call her. They never want to answer. And it's just like, I would rather text.
And then, and if you do call, it's creepy now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're.
That's
you're,
exactly.
Oh, he
yes.
called me. That's creepy. Like where did
he
this...
called me second day of texting him? Like what the fuck? Like I would rather talk.
Yeah. I remember when I first started dating, man, like you would sit by the phone and wait for a phone call from a girl or vice versa. Like that was cool. Like,
I gotta
be home by 6 o'clock. This girl's calling me. She said she didn't call me at 6 o'clock.
That was real anxiety though. Like you're waiting for the person to call and you call and you're like, fuck what, ma?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And then if you don't have call waiting, like I gotta get a phone now.
Yeah. Yeah. Get off the phone. I'm waiting for a call. I mean, kids nowadays don't want.
No, nowadays everything's at the disposal of a phone. Like if you want to get laid, Tinder, bam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Grindr.
Simple. Right. Right.
I don't know. I'm glad I got married way, way long before social media and dating apps.
How's your dick game?
It is.
Back to the topic at hand. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Jim.
That's what she said.
But yeah, so like, and that, I mean, that everything boils into that. Like, that's why people went out. You wanted to socialize with people. You wanted to meet girls. You wanted to meet new friends. You know, you wanted to talk about things and just have a good time and get away from the boringness of being at home with no internet.
Yeah, because there was nothing to fucking do. And we talked about that on one of my podcasts when we went to go see Two in North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina. Nate had brought up, he said, what the fuck was the question? Did you listen to that episode? Yeah. He basically said, how do I feel about movies nowadays or compared to TV shows? Or I forgot what it was, but it was basically that what he said was that TV shows has basically killed the movie industry because now you have everything at hand. It's right there. You have Netflix.
Well, no, he was saying basically you can draw out the story.
Yeah, okay.
With the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Versus going and seeing a movie and everything's rushed and put together. Yeah. So now you can actually.
Well, that too. And with the music industry, the movie industry. They won't make a movie anymore unless they know it's going to be a hit because it costs so much money to make a movie now.
Yeah.
There's no taking chance. Like in the 80s, when you had those quirky like comedy movies that were just stupid as hell, but they're great because they are stupid as hell.
Yeah.
They won't greenlight those anymore.
Yeah.
Well, no, look you at Super Troopers shit. 2. They had to do a...
They had to do it on their own. Yeah. And they raised the money in like a week. They raised like millions of dollars in like a week.
And it was a shit movie.
I didn't see it.
The first time I watched it, I was like, yeah, but the second time, it's like one of those movies you got to watch more than once.
Yeah, it's like, I might get shit, but I'm an Incubus fan. And when Morning View came out, it took about two or three listens to get used to it. And I was
I like Incubus. They got to a point, though, and then went to Brandon's looks, and he got all...
when he cut the dreads and grew long.
Then it was all about putting a camera on him and the music.
Have you seen that? Well, I'm not going to talk about that afterwards.
Sugar Ray did the same thing. I know we're going way back, but Sugar Ray was a great band, and then Mark McGrath...
Oh, yeah, they sold out.
McGrath, his looks, and then the music.
He got frosted tips in his hair,
Yeah, he does all this commentary and like TV stuff for Disney and shit.
News or whatever. Yeah.
Hey, I guess man, if you got it, you might as well use it.
But it pays better than the music industry.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, because that's what everybody's.
Why do you think all these rappers like stop rapping and they turn to acting work?
Well, all the bands
Andre 3000.
Yeah.
Well, look at all the tours now. All these bands you do one tour every few years. They're putting out records and getting paid. Now they're on tour 365. Because they're that's how they got to make their money now. You're seeing bands now. You're like, oh, I better go see him now. Well, if you ain't got the money, just wait a week. They'll be back around.
Except really Tool.
Touring. Yeah, no. Tool doesn't give a shit, man.
I just seen them not like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're already touring again. They never did that.
Yeah, they're coming back around. Yeah. They're actually coming back around again.
Yeah, they just released.
Well, they just dropped a new album, so that's why.
Yeah. I think they just finished.
And they put all their stuff on all the streaming sites.
Maynard did it live while he was he was on Joe Rogan. He goes, and you can now download all our music, it's streaming or whatever. I'm like, fuck.
All that
because
record
I was
money
I
went,
was so pissed lost. Off. I'm like, I was like, fuck, I'm already paying for Apple Music, now I gotta buy another album. But then I was like, all right, cool. Dude, their shit. Did you guys read like the comments that was going on between them and like Taylor Swift?
No.
Like all those girls were pissed at.
Oh, yeah. Like who the hell is this Tool band? Yeah, like my grandfather listened to them. Yeah. No. Exactly.
They lost their shit about it. I was reading the comments. I was just cracking up at what the fuck they were saying.
A band that released an album and their generation actually bought records, outsold Taylor Swift. It's going to
hard
happen.
Albums. Right. Yeah, to walk into the store. But again, here's the internet.
That's coming
over.
Back, though. I mean, look at the albums are coming back.
I buy tons of vinyl.
I wish I had more time to go buy vinyl, man. I got the money for it. I just don't have the fucking
time. I can't figure
anymore.
Out how to set the needle on a record, so I'm out.
I'll teach you. We'll kind of do like the Ghost, like Patrick Swayze to me more.
I'd be scratching them.
Yeah, no. I went to the record store with him, and I bought records, and he bought a record. And I'm like, "Oh, you got a record player?" He's like, "No."
I like the artwork on the albums and stuff, but
you see that's what I remember as a kid when it comes to vinyls. Is putting the record on and then just laying on the ground and flipping that fucker open and just reading looking at everything. All the art. Yes, exactly. Lyrics, seeing who was on the record and whatnot. That was the best part of it. And now it's you get to relive that. I mean, it's always been there, but it's becoming a big thing again.
Yeah, I hope my mom doesn't listen to
all
this.
The albums that
Cheech
I love.
Cheech and Chong. The rolling paper that came on Up and
Smoke. Yeah. Dude, I didn't even think about it, but on Apple Music, I think I was talking to my buddy Bill and he brought that up. And I'm like, fuck, I can download this on Apple Music. And then it basically killed 2 hours of my drive when I was in the truck listening to Up and Smoke.
Right.
That was like fucking great. But I could just imagine because the way I say it with vinyl is there's something romantic about a spinning record. There's just something romantic about it. I don't know what.
It's a ritual.
Yeah, I guess.
You have to grab it, take it out of the sleeve, put it on, put the record, you know, put the arm.
You actually have to put in work to listen to music.
You have
to
do work to listen to it. And then it pays off because it sounds way better.
I like because a lot of the records that I own right now, besides I think it's like The Roots and one of the new Charlie Parker records is one of the newer ones. But everything else, I have a Frank Sinatra where everything Frank Sinatra. If anybody's listening that's a Frank Sinatra fan, everything Frank Sinatra does is a fucking cover. He doesn't have an original. Nobody fucking knows that. Everything is a fucking cover. Hmm. For real.
Just like Elvis Presley has never written one song.
I didn't know that. But I was never really an Elvis Presley fan.
Yeah.
Never. Elvis Presley's never written one song. He had good hair for a while, and then he just kind of let it go the way the kids do now. If you stop and think about it, because my dad...
He started boozing and taking pills.
He's like, I just don't give a shit. Yeah.
No, I mean, I liked Elvis.
What was I going to say? But yeah, I just like the authentic sound of like an old record. Like I actually have an original print of, now I forgot his name. God damn it. This Buffalo Trace is good.
Sneaks up on you, grabs you by the boo-boo.
Well, while you're thinking about that, Roger, I was getting at it. The thing when you open up a record and you go through it and you read everything, like I knew who produced every album I listened to. I knew who the engineers were. Because you read all that stuff. Like, you sat there and listened to the music, and you read because you didn't have anything else to occupy your time, like pulling out a phone. Mm-hmm. I can't name you in the past 5 years, like, who was a producer on what album or who engineered it and who mastered it. Anything like that. Who did the artwork on the cover? You know, nothing like that.
Yeah, because all you're really doing now is you're downloading an album, looking at the cover, looking at the songs.
Right.
You actually have to stop and, you know, get annoyed, like, sit back on the couch and then like, okay, how do I find who produced this fucking album? Who did the artwork? I mean, it's at your disposal easily. You just go to Google.
Right.
Hey, but why not just open the fucking album cover?
Can even go and say, putting a CD in is the same amount of work. I mean, it's coming to that.
But you stop and think about it. Like a lot of the CDs that I remember getting, they had very little information.
But still,
depending on the band,
yeah,
there were certain bands that still put the effort out there to put that information because they knew like how vinyl was and the experience for them. Mm. There's other bands that didn't care. It was like, oh, just put the track listing on there and who's in the band and the album cover. And that's it.
Well, what I'm saying is, I always listen to the streaming stuff, but I actually went and found my CDs and I was putting in CDs and it was great. Listen to the whole album.
Get that a little closer to you, brother. There you go.
And something, I can't hear myself on these things.
Because you're far away. You're like right here. You want to be on that thing. Like,
yeah, you sound like you're in the room reverb area.
Well, is this better?
Just get up out of like this.
We got to get better mics where I can get
it. Well, I just got you a mic. What are you talking about? We need to get better mics.
I want to be free. I don't want to be.
Oh, you want a headset like Britney?
Yeah, he wants one of those.
He wants a Britney headset.
Yeah, he wants to get. It's not a bad idea. You know, I mean, I've compensated for this fucker twice.
This one, I had to be right on it. This one, I was sitting back and.
Well, that one, I think, picks up a little bit more no matter where you're at. That one, this one we have now, we have to kind of.
Yeah, I have no idea where the diaphragm is in this thing, but I know if I pull back just a little bit, it's gone.
Yeah, yeah, but you get a little bit closer.
Way up on it.
Anyways.
Jesus.
All right, I don't even know what
Jim's
I was
just been
about.
Annoying Anyhow. Us the entire day. Back to the vinyls. But yeah, so. Yeah, I wish I was out more. I mean, a lot of the vinyls, like I said, a lot of the vinyls I got are pretty old. They're pretty vintage. Like I got a. He sings "Ain't No Sunshine."
Otis Redding? No,
not Otis Redding. Fuck. The Ain't No Sunshine.
I know what you're saying.
But I got that one for 95 cents.
Oh,
there was a small scratch in it. I fixed it real quick, but it was an original print, original press.
I got some original prints, but I'm all into like these whole remastering 200 gram vinyl.
I don't have a nice system for
like,
that.
I just got the Beach Boys Pet Sounds remastered from the
original. I don't get what was so special about the
Beach Boys?
Beach Boys.
So
they were drug addicts, man. They were hardcore. I listened to it, bro.
Well, here's the thing. So Brian Wilson was the mastermind behind the Beach Boys, and the dude was schizophrenic. Like he was legitimately mentally ill.
Like what's his name from Pink Floyd?
Sid Barrett,
yeah. I'm going to go grab a beer real quick. Keep on.
Yeah. So Brian Wilson was the mastermind behind everything. And first couple albums, he wrote and they toured and everything like that. And then after like a certain amount of time, he couldn't handle social pressures anymore. So he decided to tell the band to go you guys go tour. And while you're touring, I'm going to be writing the music in the studio. Well, this is at a time where like when you recorded in a studio, you had like four tracks to work with. Like, that was it. And you recorded a whole album in a day. He was one of the first people to, like, actually put production work into music. Like, multi-tracking, overdubbing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as music we know. Nowadays, it's like, oh, I got Pro Tools. I got 300 tracks at my disposal.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. Back then, you were limited to do it. And, like, they were doing that. And with all the harmonies and the Beach Boys and stuff like that. And if it wasn't for the Beach Boys, some of the Beatles stuff wouldn't turn out the way it was. Because the Beach Boys released a record, and the Beatles were like, we have to beat this.
It was like a competition.
It was. It definitely was.
In a way, I can kind of see that.
Because the Beatles at the time were the biggest band on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. And the Beach Boys were not far behind. I mean, they were selling millions of records. So, but yeah, anyways.
I listened to it.
It's
good, but.
So anyways, like. It's just one of those records, like, whether you like it or not, you have to listen to it just to understand where this impact came from. Because if it wasn't for, like, you know, the Beach Boys and the Beatles and stuff like that, music nowadays we wouldn't know.
No, yeah, and I get that part. If you didn't have it, a lot of the other stuff wouldn't follow. I get that part.
Do you want to try a little bit of this? Or I know you're going keto, but it's
fucking, I'll take a sip. What is it?
Ooh, it smells chocolatey.
Double chocolate cherry stout. I got a couple of guys on this. There's an app that I go to called, I got a little bit left in here if you want.
The Beer Tap?
Tavour.
Okay.
Oh, that man, one's got a little bit.
I mean, that smells. It smells like a Snickers bar.
I haven't even smelled. Oh, it does.
That, I mean, it smells like straight up. You open up a Snickers bar, and I don't know what that's.
I haven't had like a Snickers so bar fat. In a while. Snickers bar. We got three fat fox in here. Yeah. Right, cheers, guys. By the way,
cheers.
Thanks for coming and doing this.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And I'm not knocking Beach Boys. I am not. I mean,
because
I get
like, that tastes like a liquid Snickers.
Wow,
bar.
That is really good.
That is really good.
Oh my God, you guys ain't going to this party. I'm gonna get you guys.
It's probably fucked up.
That's a chocolate milk right there.
Yeah, that's real good. What is this? So by the way, we're drinking a 903 Brewers Double Chocolate Cherry Stout.
That's not, where are they from?
That's not beer.
I got this one's coming from if it has a. Sherman, Texas.
Oh, Texas.
Texas.
That's not a beer.
I actually got a nice bourbon up there from Texas. I think it's like 357 or something.
Yeah, calm down. We got a party to go to.
But yeah, back to the vinyl thing. So what I was getting at is like, I like to get like all these old albums that were released on vinyl that made an impact throughout the course of music. And I like to listen to them and just like try to put myself in the position of like where they were at the point in time.
You got... what is it? The Dark Side, where they did Money?
Yeah.
Where they had to do all the reel-to-reel?
Oh, yeah. They were making tape loops, which was insane. Like, they were taking, like, they were sampling. Oh, well, actually, the Beatles were the first band to actually sample.
What was that, Sgt. Pepper's?
Which album did they do that?
Or Yellow Submarine?
Well, no.
Because
was,
I could see...
I think it was
see,
the album before before Sgt. Pepper's. What was the album before Sgt. Pepper's?
Revolver?
Revolver.
Was that Revolver?
Yeah. So... the Beatles were basically doing the same thing. They were taking tape loops, and they were running it through the console, and during sound, like, they were using legitimate drum loops. Like, they would have Ringo play a four-bar beat, and they were looping tapes. And they would sit at the console, and they only had, I think, six faders, and they were just pulling faders in and out and just working loops. And then they were singing on top of it, and they, you know, John Lennon, the first time they were using vocal effects too. Like, they had John Lennon's voice on one of those songs, the songs they were using all the loops on. They ran his voice through the Leslie speaker cap.
Mm.
And that's okay. Where you hear all that whirling sound and stuff
like
that.
Yeah. Because that was a real trippy song.
Yeah.
What you talk
about. But after this, we'll listen to it to get where it comes from. But anyways, the Pink Floyd was, you know, they were doing the same thing, but they started using synthesizers at the time. But they were also doing tape loops, like in the Big of the Money, the ching, 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 ching.
Mm-hmm.
They literally, like, around the room of the studio, these tapes were running to get it on time with the band. And, like, I think that song's in 3/4 timing. And they had, like, literally the tape was, like, looping around, like, mic stands. And just spinning around the room just to get it in time with the band. Insane.
No shit.
Yeah, if I had to make loops like that nowadays... I'd have no part of it. Like, just give me a guitar.
Like, fuck
this. Give me a guitar, give me a piano, I'm done.
Well, then they did something with the people talking, too, didn't they? What song was that? They recorded everybody saying something.
Oh, I think that's Shining Your Crazy Diamond. Maybe. They did for Sid Barrett.
Yeah, they were crazy.
That's actually a better taste than this one.
But isn't it the same shit?
That's what I like about vinyl, though. Like, you can go back and you can listen to these albums. And if you know a little bit of the history and how they made it at the time... And you think about, like, and we know what we have now. And I know analog gear a little bit, too, when I worked in the studio when I was younger. That shit had to be insanely hard to do. And you had to be you had to be really creative to even think about doing that.
Well, you got to figure, man, those guys were constantly on some sort of mushrooms or acid, and supposedly that's supposed to open up your
I'm sure it did.
Brain sensor,
I'm bullshit, sure it did.
Whatever. So I'm sure that's...
I take 2 hits of weed to think about doing weird stuff in music. So I couldn't imagine, like, eating a bunch of mushrooms and being in the studio.
Yeah. But back then, you figure, man, making music, you appreciate it just a little bit more because of the hard work you had to fucking put into it, man. Nowadays, it's easy. It's fucking easy. Hold on, I'm going to make this drum beat. Now I'm going to fucking just go ahead and put it throughout a 3-minute fucking track. Go.
And that's why shit's so generic now.
It is.
It really is.
Like, for the most part, I can appreciate some of the music out there. Like, there's a couple of, what's his name? I almost said John Lennon, but... He sings, oh my God, I forgot his fucking name. But I play a couple of his tracks because a lot of hip-hop and R&B, it's just the same drum beat over and over and over again. So that is my metronome as opposed to having a fucking, you know, a click track going at 120 beats per minute. I just put on a fucking song so that way I can just shred. You know, I just build up my chops that way.
Oh, absolutely.
I could see that, but a lot of the shit that I'm listening to now, I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Yeah. There's nothing creative about this. The lyrics are fucking terrible. People are probably going to be pissed at me.
I think
but whatever.
Recent band that has come out that I've bought their music is Nathaniel Ratcliffe.
I guess my buddy was just telling me that he came out with an album that's supposed to be like a tribute or dedication to one of his band members that
committed
suicide.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't looked much deep into his,
You heard that guy? I think you would like him. He's got a, like a real old school fucking voice.
And I think that's why I like it too, is because they record with all this old vintage gear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're using like spring reverb tanks and stuff like that to get these old tones.
Oh, wow.
And from the way the record sounds, I'm pretty sure they're recording on like 2-inch tape through analog stuff. And
yeah, it kind of makes sense with the guy's voice.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes amazing perfectly. Yeah. Perfectly, man.
I've never heard.
Yeah,
you've heard.
Is that Brody being a baby? Oh, he's snoring. Because I hear it in the background. I just hear.
It could be somebody's stomach.
Dude, he woke me up.
It's probably mine because...
He woke me up this morning at like 3, at 3 o'clock. I'm like, the fuck is that? It sounded like somebody was trying to open my window and their fingers are going, it's fucking him snoring. Well, he's almost 12 years old, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But, yeah, man, if you get a chance, listen to him. You might like him, man. He's real good.
What's his name?
Nathaniel.
And the Night Sweats.
Yeah, I guess.
The Night Sweats?
Yeah. Not the meat sweats.
Not the meat sweats.
Yeah, like
meat
sweats.
Not a meat addiction.
I think it was.
Addiction.
I think it was. I think my buddy Nate. We do beer in a song, and he's really good at breaking down songs. You know, also much like yourself, he's got a podcast voice, But he's real good. He loves music. He's a music lover. A lot of the shit that I was into when we first met back in the mid 90s. Okay. I thought I was the only one like, oh, man, no one knows about this fucking band. And I go and I open this fucking asshole's CD booklet. I'm like, God damn, I've never heard of any of this shit. This fucking guy's all over the place. But he's definitely a music lover. He's not a musician. No, you got your musicians that love music, and then you got your music lovers. And he's one of those music lovers that is just like, fuck, he can talk forever about bands that are I've never fucking heard of. So a lot of the shit that he throws at me, like, I like it, I don't like it, I can appreciate it, whatever else, it's something new. But we do beer in a song. It's right. Like, you know, that's why I have a lot of beer, because, you know, usually I have people come in, they sit down.
Oh, I could do 12 beers and 12 songs, probably.
We should set that up. We could set that up. He did. That's why I'm kind of glad, you know, he brought you in. I got open dates, man. I got 21st and 22nd.
Get a seat wet, you know, on the podcast thing.
But I think you would be good on a beer and a song. Just bring in a song and just bullshit, break it down. Because, first of all, what's your job title? Because you have a really
the corporate
cool job
title. Like, I'm an entertainment technician.
Okay, well, I mean, for all the dummies out there.
No, I mean, I've done just about anything that there is to do in live and studio music industry. I've done it. Done live sound, front of house, and in monitors. Done lighting, stage managing, but on more of the business side. I was production manager for the Pearl Room.
Mm. I remember that. I remember you. I remember we played.
Yeah, I started off, I don't know, 19, 20 years old doing sound at Kelly's, just like everybody else in the area, you know, working for Tony, and progressed from there. Just started spreading out and kept going with it. And I was doing, for my full-time job, I was installing carpet. And
oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
My knees weren't taking it, especially at that young age. I'm like, I need to figure something else out.
I can see why you would want to go the more music route, where you're just running a soundboard or lights or anything like that.
Yeah,
that sounds way more fun than fucking laying carpet, man.
But I started off, I got a call from a band in Lansing called Debauchery when I was 16. They're hardcore metal. It's like, whoa. They're like, we want a keyboard player. I'm like, you want a keyboard player? They're like, yeah, man. I'm like, all right. So I come out and I play with these guys. And I met some people through them. And then, I don't know, I think I was 17 years old, and I got an internship at Chicago Tracks Recording Studio. Worked there for, I don't know, 8 months to a year, somewhere around there. Went through an internship for like 3 months, and then became an engineer, did all that stuff. Opened up my own recording studio in Munster with Mike Sheffield. Sheffield Studios.
Ah, yes. We recorded there a long time ago.
What band were you in?
What the fuck were we called? I don't remember. Dude, I was in this band with this fucking guy who thought it was just his band. You know how I was explaining to you earlier? I feel like I'm, you know, when you feel like you're punching a clock, it was like one of those.
Right,
but I didn't realize it back then. I was just happy I was in a band.
Yeah.
But I forgot what the fucking name of it was, like Revelation or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some fucking weird name.
But we had that for a while and recorded a bunch of bands there, and it made me hate working in the studio. Mm. And especially like when I was working at Chicago Tracks, it was different because I'm recording national artists, international artists, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you have people that come in there, they're professional, and like they go in there and they do their business, and that's it, man. They just knock shit out. And then I went to opening my own studio, and then I got one of the first Pro Tool rigs in the area, and I get these local bands in there, and some of them are bad. They're bad musicians. They're terrible. Their timing's off, you know, all this shit. And I'm like, oh, you know, after like 20 times, I'm like, oh, do it again. Record it again. And they're like, well, can't you just Pro Tools that shit and fix it?
Wow.
And I'm like, and here's the thing, like, you can to an extent, and I probably could fix a lot of stuff, but it's going to take me more time in editing to do this, then it's just play your instrument right, you know. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with all that stuff, and it just made me hate working in the studio, you know. And then, like, you get done with the mixing, you're like, oh, well, you know, this doesn't sound like this album. Well, yeah, it doesn't sound like this album because you're not that good and your tones aren't that good.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people, especially when you're younger, they don't understand like all the numbers that go into making this masterpiece, you know, this album that sounds awesome. Like, there's so many variables that has to be done to get there. You can't just pull in there with, you know, some shitty amp and a shitty guitar and shitty drum set. Like,
and expect you
hey, Pro Tools to do is all shit, the man. Work.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I hated it. I hated working in the studio. I couldn't stand it anymore. So then I went to the live thing and live sound, lighting, you know,
so that
management.
Was that like much easier, a better switch from?
Here's the thing. It's not much easier. It's still kind of, you get some frustrations, but it's different every day. And you're not sitting there listening to a kick drum for 3 hours, just tweaking it and
trying to fix it.
Compression, whatever. You don't have to deal with that. Like when you're doing live sound, it's like, all right, give me your kick drum, 26. All right, give me your snare drum. You dial everything in, and once they start going, then you know you go. I'm talking like, you know, local stuff, like not a professional sound check where they take like 3 hours and they're just constantly dialing stuff in, dialing the room in, and all that. I mean, that's a totally different world, but. It was fast, and we used to call it combat audio because you're working for a small company and stuff like that and working bars and, like, small clubs. Shit doesn't work, ever. Hmm. Cables are bad. Microphones are bad. And that's how we, you know, the people that I work with, you know, now, it's like that's how we grew up working through shit like that. It was like that's how we got good at problem solving and going through all that because nothing ever worked. And, like, when something doesn't work now, you're like, I know exactly what that is because I've had to deal with that problem 1,000 times.
So, basically, more like learning from your mistakes.
Then, right.
Like, or learning from the mistakes that were already there or, you know.
Right.
Like,
but, yeah, so for the past, I don't know, 7 years, I was the stage manager at the venue, the Horseshoe Casino. Mm-hmm. And I switched over from stage managing to video. It's something I haven't really done before. Mm-hmm. Like, I've ran cameras and... stuff like that, but like I'm in the video department full on now, so
nice.
So it's a change of pace.
So it's in a way, it's like you're kind of, I guess, what are you saying over there?
I said I'll be doing porn in 2 years. Shooting
of course,
it.
There's Jim, lighting Jim in the background coming out of fucking nowhere talking about some sort of fucking sexual something. So it's are you happy that you're moving in that direction? Because, I mean, you've done the sound, you've done studio, you've done live, and now you're doing something completely different that you've never really done before.
Yeah, it's different, and it's just learning more stuff. I do miss, I miss production management the most, like working with Frank Masler's. That was, like, the best time because I don't like going to work and, like, having slow time. You know, like sometimes you have days where you're slow and you just sit around and grip and wait, stuff like that. When I was a production manager, man, it was like go, 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 go all the time. And I enjoyed that. Like I enjoyed being busy.
On the move, staying busy. Yeah, time just like, fucking flies.
Everything. Man. Like, I mean, I worked a lot of hours at the time. I'm probably just, I don't know, I'm probably just thinking back like when I had a really good time doing it. Like if I did it now, I can imagine calling my girlfriend like, yeah, I'm working 70 hours this week. And I'm sleeping underneath my desk. It wouldn't fly.
Ooh.
But... At the time, I really, really, really enjoyed it, you know, doing big festivals outside, trying to organize that, you know, you have 4 stages and 100 bands and everything's got to go on time. Like it's challenging, but it's fun when it's all said and done and everything went perfect. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling accomplishment. And not only that too, like when you do live music, man, you see like looks on people's faces, like young people. Like when I was young and I was that excited about music when I would go see it for the first time, that's a payoff too.
Yeah.
You're bringing these people something that like they don't see it all the time, and then
yeah.
After a while you do get jaded. You work in this industry long enough, nothing really impresses you anymore.
Man, so you've basically seen the change from
then
till now, and it's just like
yeah.
Because I mean, I still get like that. You know, when I went to go see Tool, like dude, that's a bucket list band for me. Absolutely. I was excited. I've never seen them before, and I finally got to see them. Not only that, I didn't get to see them at the fucking United Center, which doesn't really have a great sound.
No.
You know, I didn't see them at I guess, what is it called now? I mean, something, I mean, it's the World.
Casino,
it was the world for me.
The Tweeter.
You know, the
world.
Tweeter, yeah.
They got horrible sound.
And especially because I'm not going to sit in the seats. I want to sit in the lawn. You know, if something happens, I want to throw a piece of grass at somebody. But we saw them at in Raleigh, North Carolina, where it was a smaller arena.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound wasn't that bad. Not only that, we were like right in the middle, staring right at the stage. So we were able to see everything. Even from far away, you can still see.
Where did we see him? Rosemont?
Yes, Rosemont.
Or Allstate or whatever.
Allstate
or
wherever he is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It didn't sound that bad. Here's my only gripe about Tool Live. I seen them back in 98. And they sounded amazing. And now... And I hear this from a lot of people, like Maynard's vocals are really dialed way back in the mix. because something happened over the years. You can hear it on the albums too. Like, he's not the predominant voice because the whole band wants to be like, you know, we're the whole band and everything's the band, and we can't just focus on the singer. Like, it's music as a whole, which it is. Whole music as a whole. So much stuff going on. But when I seen him live the last time, I couldn't hear Maynard worth of shit. And it was, like, really kind of disappointing. You know, like, the guitars are just beating the shit out of my face. And I was like, I'm trying to hear Maynard, like, you know, all this stuff. And
Well, then he stands in the back, and that doesn't probably help either.
Well,
it also depends, like, if the type of venue you're at, you know. Because, I mean, Metro sometimes has a good sound. And if you listen to them at the Congress,
talked to other people about this, and they said the same thing. It's the same rip. Like, I couldn't really hear Maynard that well. I can't hear Maynard.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So it's, like, on the internet, you know, people talking about it. And,
okay. So maybe, I don't know, what you think, sound guy or just the venue? Or
I think it is a band decision. I don't think it's a sound guy decision. I think it's like it's a band decision.
Phone call.
It probably won't.
Hey, you're not talking. Can you grab my phone for me, sir? If it's Madonna, tell her I'll call her back with her fake ass. But yeah, it wasn't bad when I saw them.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't bad. It was actually a pretty kick-ass show. The only thing, and it's surprising, I guess, Maynard had pulled a calf muscle.
Okay.
But he's like, you know, he probably fucked it up doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu because he's like a black belt.
Well, that too. But he had his hip replaced.
Oh, yeah. Because all that fucking stomping he was doing. Yeah. But I guess, again, man, my mind's all over the place right now. The bass player and the guitar player had the stomach flu.
Oh, okay.
I guess Danny Carey was the only one that was like kind of okay.
Right.
But, I mean, they sounded really good. You know, and they were all having they're all pretty much having fun, but didn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Didn't sound bad. So, I mean, I was again, I'm glad I got to saw him. I got to see him. Jesus Christ. I can't talk.
Well, that's another thing to get at, though, like, where we're talking about, like, you know, the music scene kind of dying and all that stuff. Like, look at all the festivals that come out now in the past 10 years. The same fucking band on every festival. Like, yeah. Especially rock. Like, there's no new bands. You'll have, like, Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson headlining and, like, Disturbed and Godsmack and all these bands that have been around for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the good festivals kind of went away. Look what happened with Ozfest. Ozfest had three separate stages.
They had three separate stages because there was always up-and-coming new bands
coming out. And that's what I'm talking about. You had stage one, stage two. I mean, I don't know how many bands that I had seen that were just up-and-coming that were fucking awesome.
Yep.
You know, that was the first time I saw Disturbed was at an Ozfest. I'm like, these guys are pretty good. And the more I listen to them, I'm like, all right, they're getting annoying, you know. But there's a bunch of other bands that I saw in there too. Like, there was a Taproot, for instance.
Oh yeah,
I'd never heard of Taproot until I saw them at Ozfest.
Right.
And you know, I just feel like a lot of these venues now, it's like somebody said they were going to Lollapalooza. Like, hey, Lollapalooza's coming around. I'm like, are we going for the music or the fucking fashion show?
Right.
Like, what's the? I mean,
Lollapalooza hasn't been Lollapalooza since
the
first two.
All about what the people are wearing now.
Right.
You know, I'm like, fuck this. It's a fashion show. They're just waiting for these famous people to walk in and see what they're wearing.
Right.
It's not even about who's on stage.
Well, that's the thing with the younger generation now. I think also is like they're force fed this thought of. You have to be materialistic and you have to look this way and you have to act this way.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, like, you picked the individual you wanted to be. I remember going into, like, music stores and, like, listening to everything that was out at the time. And in the 90s, there was a wide variety of music. There was a lot of shit going on. Mm-hmm. And you just picked, like, man, this is what I really like. This is what I really dig. And this is what I'm going to listen to. And this is, you know, how I'm going to dress at the time as a teenager, you know. And now it's like, you have to look this way, you have to act this way. You have to have so many likes on Facebook or Instagram or your snaps have to be, you know, this way. And it's just...
I'm glad you brought that up. Do you watch Black Mirror?
No, I have not.
There's an episode of Black Mirror that where my future ex-wife, Dallas Howard Page, there's an episode of her where there's an episode where... Well, it's different episodes. They don't tie in together. But it's basically everything that happens in your life, your status in life, where you are in life, your job, you know, people knowing you or wherever you are is due to social media. If you have five stars, everybody likes you. Everybody's going to kiss your ass. If you start dropping down, all of a sudden you lose your job. All of a sudden you're this, all of a sudden you're that. And that's what happens to her.
That's crazy. I mean, it's such a great idea because that's basically what social, like,
what, and that's what's happening. Yeah.
Society is now.
That's what's going on.
And I don't understand the need and the crave for attention. I don't understand it. I don't get it. it's beyond me. I don't know. I've never been. I look at it like basically like everybody that's like that. Like they're narcissists. You know, they have to.
Yeah.
They have to some type of approval to make like, themselves feel better.
In a way, okay, I'm guilty of this. Like I follow. There's a couple of girls that I follow. Well, I'm gonna lie about that. There's more than a couple of girls that I follow on Instagram that are.
But they're probably hot.
They're.
You're like, they're, oh, she has a nice ass, and she, you know.
Well, it's yeah. They're. I'm more attracted to the nerdy, cute girls. So well, that's your thing, man. I follow them. Right. Yes, I follow them. So.
Thanks, buddy.
But I don't mind it. You
it's
know,
nice
but
it's nice having an intern here that gets us beers.
Thank you, Jim. Hey, yeah. By the way, we're hungry. Can you make us that ribeye that I have?
medium rare, please.
But I mean, I get it. If you have the looks, you can get away with it. But then again, you know, I feel like it's just taking away from everything, man.
Here's the thing: if you have looks, yeah, you can get it at the time. What happens when these girls start in their 30s and everybody's like, oh.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I said. Like, you're 22
and now. What
now.
What are you going to do? You, through your whole 20s where you should have been, like, learning some type of
some
career,
sort of skill.
Trade, whatever have you. And now you're just, like, not as appealing on camera than you used to be. And you're not getting, you know, all this internet money, which I have no idea where it comes from. And you're not getting your financial income from that. And now you have to figure out what you're going to do in your 30s.
Well, I that's where I laugh. I'm like, she's hot right now, but what is she going to do? I mean, some of them are going to school, and I get it because there's a lot of CrossFit girls that I follow.
Right.
You know, there's a Kara Webb. There's a couple other Iceland chicks, you know, Camila Blanc, Vizane. But the thing is, like Julie Foucher, she's actually a nurse. Right. You know, and then you see a lot of them that they're posing, and they're all fucking ripped and hot, and asses are like, whoa. But then they also post the ones where you see that they're going to school to be a doctor.
Right.
They're going to school to be this. These other ones, they're just putting their ass, which, by the way, they are nice. Thank you. they're just putting their butt out there and whatever else. I'm just like, holy fuck. You know, and then I stop and think, like, what's going to happen? Because if you stop and think about it, yesterday you were 21 years old.
Literally
today you wake up and you're like, fuck, like
I'm a hair away from 40. Yeah,
like, well, I'm already 40 and I wake up and I'm going, oh, there goes my back. Fuck. Yeah. You know, and then tomorrow, just yesterday, dude, I woke up, I was 25.
Yeah,
you know, I was able to move around, I was able to just jump and have fun, dude, and now I'm just like, god damn,
well,
I gotta take my multivitamins.
I think in my 20s is like,
cheers.
I went so ham, like so crazy on
you drink that.
Oh, yeah, you got your bottle there.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Right now we're drinking, what is that?
The Dragon's Milk Reserve.
Which, by the way, we got to ask you about.
Rum barrel aged.
Rum barrel. Oh,
rum,
yeah,
barrel.
That's right.
Very rum forwardy.
So, okay, so this is how you do this, guys. When you drink a stout, I don't know how learned you are in this. Yeah, pour it into there because this is what we're going to do. Yeah. I'll show you. So when you drink a stout, you're supposed to get it close to your nose. And when you sip it, you're supposed to breathe in.
Don't worry. You're going to smell this as you're drinking.
Oh,
it.
Jesus. Oh, wow. Yeah. So breathe. Ooh.
Yeah, right?
Ooh, buddies. Ooh. So you're supposed to breathe in. And then when you put it in your mouth, you let it sit there. You hold your breath, swallow, and then you breathe. And then that's how you get all of the tasty notes.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Grab you.
There's a. I
ooh,
there's some hint of cardboard in here. I'm not joking.
There's some hint of recyclingness.
And we all know, like, we all grew up at the same time at Christmas. You got cardboard boxes that your presents came in, and you play with the cardboard boxes more, and you eventually chew down the edge of one of those fuckers. That has a cardboard.
I haven't tasted the cardboard yet, but I'm.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if you
cardboard
this.
Almost has a caramel hint to it though. So
yeah, this is the one. Actually, you know what? And the thing about this has been sitting for about 4 years.
Yeah.
So that's got to be tastier.
Well, I did that Dragon's Milk. It was sitting in my fridge for 6 years.
Yeah, and I told you about
it. It was still good.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was really good.
And
it
I told
you if there's enough alcohol in it, you can eat it for a while. Yeah, I've still got some Dark Lords from like 2013, 2014.
Oh, I got one that's from I think 2011.
Yeah.
I got a nice one in there.
I was told those are supposed to last 5 or 6 years, but
who knows? How about we say, let's say we call, oh, you guys are leaving for a parking lot. I'm going to say, I got one in there that's been sitting for a while.
Let's open this up
and see what happens. No. Let's see if we see a little
I still
dragon.
Have one, I think I still have another Dragon's Milk that's been sitting in there since 2014.
I want to open.
It's not bad, but it definitely kicks you.
Oh, yeah.
And this is actually tamer than what you get out of, so when I went to New Holland Brewery. Was it last weekend?
Yeah.
And what they gave me was way, I thought, a lot more alcohol-y rum.
Oh yeah,
right off the, you know.
So when I was in when I was in 9mm, I used to drink those at band practice, and I get a 4-pack.
Oh, the Dragon's Milk.
Yeah, and I remember I'd pour one into a pint, you know, and set it on top of my guitar head, and we were jamming out, and one of them, you know, vibration knocked it over onto the rug in the practice spot, and it smelled like it smelled like Dragon's Milk in there for like 3 months.
Yeah, it's gonna stick in that, man. Yeah. That Dragon's Milk is so fucking thick. I used to when Flat Rock was a shit. They used to sell that by the bigger bottle, like these bottles.
Well, this one's a February. I think they released this at the end of January, so I don't know if this is like a newer version.
It's probably the rum.
Did I show you this one? The one with Walter?
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah.
It's a Vietnamese porter. That's been sitting for about 4 years as well. I'm waiting to crack that one open.
Oh, that's amazing. I like that.
Yeah. I also had one by the, I had one called The Dude.
Yeah, Crown Point Brewery. Yeah, they make The Dude. It's really good.
That's their own. Really good.
No, they're pumpkin. Well, if you like pumpkin stuff, I'm a basic white bitch when it comes to pumpkin stuff. Swear to God, soon as fall hits, man, if I can smoke pumpkin flavored cigarettes, I would. But their pumpkin brew and their The Dude
are the both Dude are their best legit ones. Yeah.
What did we have that one day? Was it crap? What did you?
And this one's this one's 50%, man. This is a 15% one. We're gonna have to crack. 15. I might have have you guys on again. We'll crack this bitch open.
Not today. Not today, my friend.
You know what we should do, Roger, is when we talked about doing the camping.
Should I bring a few of these?
The podcast, yeah. Well, let's bring a few of those and we'll.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll sit outside in the sun and have a picnic table. Well,
I'll show you when we're done. I picked up a Shore came out with the MV88. Have you heard about that?
Yep.
Yeah, I got that fucking thing. So it's actually pretty cool. You just put it on your phone, and then it's got the little condenser mic. But the cool thing is, it's got two mics on the side as well.
Right.
So if I want to set it up in front of us, I used it at practice yesterday. I haven't looked at the video yet, but I'll check it out to see.
There's a couple companies that are out now that are gearing more towards like portable recording to instantly, you know, go into the intravenous veins of the internet. Cascam makes some good shit.
I haven't really looked into them. I heard of them. I haven't looked into it though.
Oh, task cams?
Yeah.
Actually,
that's what these headphones are.
Yeah.
Something tells me we don't want to record live video from the camping.
Oh no. No. But the phone, the one with the phone, you can do audio and video, or either or.
I'm even scared of either the audio. Or.
But I just walk around like, how drunk are you?
It'll be like Lord of the Flies.
If you were gay,
I'll end up skinning Wayne.
Wayne and his iguana. Piggy.
Just remember, we did a drunk cast, so that didn't.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I was there the next day for some things.
Yeah, it was. I gave that a listen. And I'm like, I can't put this on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Bad news written all over it.
So I think.
Hey, you know what? To be fair, though, Roger, to be fair.
He doesn't get Letterkenny. I told him about it. He doesn't.
I told him about it too.
Dude, Shorzy is my favorite fucking character.
Fuck you, Jonesy.
Fuck you, Jonesy. I figured your mom 2 Halloweens ago. You keep it up.
Clip of that where they're playing catch or
something. Oh, yeah. They're playing catch and he talks about getting a finger in his beehole.
Yeah. I got it.
Anyway, not to go way off of thing here.
By the way,
I
shout out to
Letterkenny. He called me up and asked me, he's like, do you want to come do a. The whiskey thing with Roger and do a podcast. I said, well,
no, drunk cast wasn't whiskey.
No, the drunk cast.
The bourbon was okay. It was pushed back.
No, the bourbon one was fun. He told me it was going to be the bourbon one. I said, well, who's going to be there? He's like, well, you know, Wayne, Roger, and some other people. I said, you know, Wayne come there? He's like, yeah, why? I was like, you're setting them up for this?
No, we were going to do.
I'm like,
hold on. Do we want to talk about this on the podcast?
I'm not going to reveal anything. But I was like, you're setting them up for this. Like, you're setting them up for failure. He's like, well, no, it's not going to be bad. I said, all right, dude, call me tomorrow and let me know how you think of it.
Oh, drunk ass was horrible.
Yeah.
He literally called me. Like, yeah. I was in bed. He's like, oh, we got to talk.
Yeah. It was. The other thing is that the person smoked way too much. And I don't blame him because I had another buddy in here that was, that had smoked way too much.
Make an excuse.
Yeah,
well, no, because even he was like, dude, he's like, I didn't even know where I was at. The dude fell asleep on my couch with a bag of Doritos.
I just remember old dude came in. He's like, I'm Mexican. Okay. And we had that Dave's Advantage.
Oh,
Dave's
yeah, that put him sauce. On his ass. This fucking dude.
He's like, I'm Mexican. I can do it. I'm like, okay. He dumped that stuff on there.
And yeah, he put like way quarter, too much. He's like, fuck
quarter
it,
size dollop on a chip. Man, it was bad. He was eating honey with like a
with a knife, with a butter knife.
He had long hair.
I'm over here in the corner,
covered in like, honey and oh. hair. And I'm like, oh god.
I'm like, this is not gonna end well, man.
Needless, it's snot running on it. Oh,
it was bad.
What's her name's girlfriend? No, she had no problem with it, but I don't think she went as hard as he did.
No, no. That was still hot shit, but yeah, she's hardcore. She's pretty hardcore. I'm pretty sure she...
And then you had just...
She does Mexican
shit. Drunk Cast was just...
Yeah, that's never... I still have it, but it's never going to air. I'm never going to air that. That's bad. It was bad.
Yeah,
It was bad.
I know. I know.
I kind of get why you said what you said. Yeah. That makes sense.
I lived with them for a couple years, so... I know.
Anyways... So,
yeah, we'll end that story there.
You know,
back to
question. No question. John took his lovely girlfriend to Michigan City at the Blue Chip Casino.
I was about to say, why would you take anyone to Michigan City?
Well, there's one spot in Michigan City to the Blue Chip Casino.
That makes sense.
How
okay.
was that?
Okay, so
I'm going.
We
there
went to
for
our first. So we were going to do the hatchet throwing there. They have a hatchet throwing bar. Which I'm really interested in.
At the casino?
No. It's right around the corner.
Okay.
We were going to do that. For that. And just, we started driving out there. I'm like, man, I don't feel like throwing axes right now. I'm kind of being a girl. I was like, I just want to go sit and have a beer and have some food. So we went to Shoreline Brewery. And I've been there quite a few times. And they have really good beer and they have really good food.
I've never been there.
And so here's the thing. So I've been going there since they opened up. And I go like literally once or twice a year. I used to ride my motorcycle out there, have one beer, have some food, and come home. It's a 15 minute drive. From me.
Yeah.
What's that?
What is it? 12:20.
I used to
12:20. So you take 12:20 down, and that's a nice drive.
I used to work on 421. There was a gas station out there I used to work at. So yeah, I know the drive out that way. So
right.
Fuck yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. But anyway, so what I'm getting at too is it started off as basic, you know, brew pub. It's small brewery, bar, dining room area. They expanded on the outside. They built a whole outside
cardboard.
Live music venue.
Not cardboard.
A live music venue on the outside. They built like a concrete stage.
A
nice overhang.
Like a nice little pavilion.
Yeah, a nice little pavilion, all that stuff. And it's gorgeous out there. And I was like, man, I walked out there. I'm like, this place is really up and coming.
This was where?
Shoreline Brewery.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see what's going to go on there in the summertime because I guess they have plans. They have plans to do something.
I think I had Boys to Men.
That's actually a Hammond Fest.
I know, that's what
the Bone Thugs, and Harmony, yeah. No, I think they're just going to do, they'll probably do some rock bands, some blues stuff, probably acoustic acts here and there.
And what is it? You can walk from the Blue Chip to there, right?
I wouldn't say you could.
If you're sober and healthy, you
it's
can.
It's a very short Uber ride. It's
what about a bunch of drunk
No, you're just going to Uber. I mean, there's Ubers all over the place. But anyways, so then we went to the casino, and we go there once a year. I'm not a gambler.
Yeah.
We just go there because it's got a nice hotel. Well, this year, we our hotel package came with a $150 gift card for the steakhouse.
What's the steakhouse called?
William B's Steakhouse.
Is it William B's?
I think so.
Is I thought good? That was Majestic's.
No, I think it was William B's Steakhouse. Right. So, anyways, we went there, my appetizer I got the seared tuna.
Ooh. Love seared tuna.
Amazing, and there was just spicy sauce on the side they came with. It was just absolutely amazing. And then the disappointment came.
What was the disappointment?
The steaks. I'm really, really biased on steaks though.
Like the
because I can literally cook a steak. Better than 95% of restaurants.
Okay. How do you do it?
I salt, pepper, that's it.
That's all you need. Yeah, I said the same fucking
salt,
thing.
Pepper,
that's all you need.
Hot charcoal. Charcoal. It has to be charcoal.
Okay.
Can't
be propane.
Charcoal?
Okay.
Has to be charcoal.
So you go grill over cast iron.
Cast iron, yes, absolutely. Now, I have done cast iron. But here's the thing, though. You get a flavor off of charcoal grill, wood burning, whatever.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a flavor that comes with it that enhances, I believe. But we, so, so we got the thing. And here's the thing too. I've never had a dry aged steak before. That's what we had. We had, it was 25 days dry aged or something like that. Yeah. I got the New York strip. She got the ribeye. And I'm normally a ribeye guy, but so some much. For some reason I was like, you know what, I want a strip today. I'm glad I got the strip because mine was way better than hers.
Okay. So bad for her. And that's what's fucked up because ribeye should be better. Should
well, maybe
be,
the dry age isn't, yeah. just isn't good for dry
I don't age. Know, man. I, like I said, that's my first time having dry age, but like I tasted hers and she's like, there's no flavor, and there was no flavor.
So somebody back there fucked up.
It was cooked. It was cooked perfect.
Yeah, somebody didn't season right. They're probably real light handed on the salt and pepper because salt and pepper you should go a little.
And
heavy.
They say too, the only thing we season our steaks with is salt and pepper, and that's what I do. I was that's why I want to go there. Yeah, I'm like, so
do
put a bunch
do you
of
use,
bullshit on that.
Do, just real quick, do you use regular like salt or do you go like pink Himalayan?
If I have stuff on hand like that, or normally I just do kosher salt and obviously
hand
ground pepper.
Never used kosher. I usually just go pink Himalayan, but I switch it over to the thicker so it comes out kind of like kosher,
right.
Kosher like thick. So, like the thicker.
Yeah.
All right, I'm saying too much.
Himalayan and kosher are two totally different.
Yeah, but Himalayan, pink Himalayan is a little bit better for you, healthier.
Oh, yeah, you know.
But
sure.
it's not kosher. I got to try kosher. I definitely
gotta kosher is like what you get on the pretzels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretzels, a, pretzels. Yeah. It's kind of a medium ground. But yeah, anyway, so she had that. I had mine, and mine had a little bit more flavor than hers, but it didn't blow my socks off, especially for what the price was afterwards.
Oh, I'm going with, we're doing a bachelor party. We're going to do dinner there.
Yeah,
it'll be about 10 of us, so I'm like.
But on the other hand, I'm sorry to cut you off. The room, absolutely amazing. Like the package that we got, like for what we got and what we paid for it, it was a good deal.
Yeah,
and that was
really
in the
was.
New tower, right?
Yeah, this new tower.
I'm going to
the trailer park.
Is That's it really that went. Bad?
Because
it's like $20 difference.
I've when they first opened up, I used to, like I said, I've been going out there quite a bit over the years, and I stayed in there, and it's like a Best Western, man.
So for
and then
for 10
you,
guys,
then you go to the to the tower. You go to the tower, and it's like it's nice.
Well, we're gonna be hammered the whole time. Is
well,
it really
well,
make
it doesn't matter
if you're going with some dudes and you're just gonna gamble and drink, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Get chicken tenders.
But is it?
It's cheaper.
It's fine.
If you're going there with your wife.
Oh, all right.
Well, you go to the tower. You don't take her to the Best Western.
What about?
Give me what? You guys keep going. I'll be right back.
Nah, you can't go nowhere.
You it's can't fine. Go nowhere.
It's fine.
Take over.
So you're saying Blue Tower, hoity-toity.
Oh, yeah. That and they got a. So.
Grab that.
And here's the thing.
Hold on, hold on.
I'm speaking from my experience. I'm speaking from my experience. My experience is going with my girlfriend. We went there to, you know, have a nice romantic little getaway thing. You know, to have some fun. If you're going to dudes, man, just go to the other tower. You're going to go downstairs. You're going to gamble. You're going to lose all your money. You're going to be sad. And you're going to come back to a bad hotel room
with
a bunch of stinky dudes that are drunk. And it's going to be even worse.
Are there refrigerators in the, I know it's a super question, but we want to bring
I cannot remember. In the tower, there is refrigerators, but we also brought our own little Yeti cooler, and I put beer in there. And
yeah, because I'm gonna we'll set up like a little bar in one of the rooms. I got four or five rooms. We'll set up a main
room.
Yeah,
like the debauchery room.
Yeah,
like this is where all these stinky, smelly, drunk dudes are gonna
much.
Be.
Because we're gonna do Shoreline the one night, the Friday night.
Shoreline's great. So since you're planning this thing out, definitely look at the hatchet throwing thing.
Yeah, I'll have to.
I forgot what the name of the bar is, but if you just look up hatchet throwing Michigan City and it'll do it.
How comfortable does that make you?
What's that?
I put my fingers on your back. I'm like, do you feel my hard dick?
I felt that stubby
That's
little
two
thing.
Inches of hard dick for you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't
feel. The food is here.
Wayne Heinehickey in the house.
Heineken.
Oh, yeah. Heineken.
Heineken.
Heineken. You're Puerto Rican, German... Swedish Viking.
Yeah. He's a plethora of.
You're a plethora of Mexican and white savage.
I'm the whitest Puerto Rican you've ever met.
I'm glad you're here, Wayne.
Here.
Thank you for showing
Why
up.
Why do you keep bringing me these things that I shouldn't be drinking?
Yeah, anymore. You guys ain't going nowhere.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon. Hey, Brandon. We're not going to be able to make your birthday party.
4 o'clock.
I'm not feeling good today. And then somehow he comes across this podcast.
Like, hey, fuckers. I heard you. I got. Look at this shit. This is me right now.
What is that?
Triple fisting.
All right. So now we're drinking the New Holland Poet's Brunch Stout.
Ooh.
Imperial Stout with maple syrup, cinnamon, and natural flavor.
Oh, here, try this.
Oh, yeah, good thing for my diet. Stop eating carbs.
Here. Well,
here's 8,000 carbs in a quarter, of a shot.
I got to kill this tomorrow.
That's the dragon's milk.
Yeah.
That you're drinking, Wayne.
Ooh, that's tasty.
Good. Yeah.
It does taste like breakfast. Mm. You taste the maple syrup.
I got another one. I got one in there called Lunt the French Toast that I got to try. Did you see that?
I think I had that
one. We had that.
Mm-hmm. I think I've had that beer.
Have you had that?
I think I have.
It's good.
Yeah, it's from somewhere.
Somewhere that makes beer.
Somewhere
like everywhere
here.
Now.
Somewhere all over the place.
Yeah, that's another podcast. Like how microbreweries, like there was only one. There was one microbrewery that ruled them all. And they still do, though. They still rule it all. Some reason. But they exploded, man. There's like shit's everywhere.
Well, that's what Two Fat Fox do. Where we're going to all these breweries.
Yeah, because I like the brewery scene. I do like it. You know, he likes the food. And
well, you got the beard. You got the beard. Yes. You have the tight pants.
I do. I don't wear the tight
pants. He's got the hipster haircut.
I don't have the tight pants just yet.
The tattoos.
I do have the tattoos.
Look at his little food.
And the glasses. The glasses fit.
Shit. All right. Now, would you agree, because Wayne likes to wear this stupid fucking thing, that he looks better without it? That hat. He looks better without the hat.
You know, he looks like Dave Attell.
And if you put these on, put them on,
Wayne.
Look at this. And then act like this is a cigarette. And that's a fucking
Hunter S. Thompson.
Right off the bat. It instantly, as soon as you put
there's
that in
there's
his
fucking,
hand.
There's fucking, these.
Look at the fucking golf shoes.
Fucking bats everywhere.
We're in a goddamn lizard orgy. Please do.
They were feeding boozies.
So Michigan City, Blue Chip, that's good time.
Yeah, man, it's good times. The casino's nice. The little bar in there is nice.
Just don't get the ribeye.
It's a casino. If you want, and they have other places in there to get food at. They have a sports bar.
Yeah,
whatever you want. So Blue Chip Casino, and then the steakhouse was what?
William B's.
The only way I'd go back is I got the same deal that I got going in.
So if I was going to take my girlfriend on a date.
Yeah, but are
we
all right?
If I was going to take my girlfriend on a date and go to a steakhouse, it wouldn't be there.
What about a bunch of drunk dudes? You think it'd be okay?
A bunch of drunk dudes. If you want to spend a bunch of money,
It's a whole day of golf
and drinking.
If you want to spend a bunch of money, be disappointed.
No, we're going to spend a bunch of money and drunk.
I know you. I've been with you at the casino.
I don't know if I'd want to spend a bunch of money drunk. If I'm going to buy food, I may as well just get chicken tenders.
I'm not
going to
even
freaking
remember. Let's be honest here.
Yeah. I'm not going to drop $20-$30 on a fucking ribeye.
They want to go golfing after.
$20-$30 on a ribeye.
They want to go golfing.
I was about to say, I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Oh, higher.
Oh, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, you can say how much. How much?
$60.
$60 on one steak. And it didn't come out that. Yeah. Well, because here's the thing. I went to that Virgin Hotel. We went to a rooftop party for my buddy's girlfriend.
Virgin Hotel? Really work at it to get in there to spend the night?
Unfortunately, there was no such thing as a virgin in that hotel.
Oh.
All right. But we got the
was your grinder date
the
Wagyu very nice and,
yeah he
and
was
very...
he had very soft hands.
All right, good.
He we got the Wagyu beef. Wasn't fucking good. Wasn't good at all.
I still haven't. So,
and the thing that pissed me off was there was a Taco Bell something across the street that served alcohol with your food. Ooh. I was like, we should have just
went there.
I would have saved fucking $40.
Listen,
I still haven't had the Wagyu or the Kobe.
I've had it. I've had the dry aged. I've had the Wagyu.
Steak.
If you cook it properly,
right.
Yeah.
No. Let me cut you off there.
If you do dry age, you got
to
put it in.
When
the
you go to the butcher or wherever you decide to go, there is a gigantic difference between choice meat and prime meat.
Yes.
All right.
There is
a
gigantic difference. Back to the Wagyu thing. I went out to Montana last October, and that's where all them Wagyu cattle come from.
Because, you get that.
And I went to this like really nice restaurant, and I looked on the menu, and they're like, bison tenderloin or Wagyu steak. I'm like, bison all day long.
Yes.
And I got that thing. And it looked like.
But that really has to be cooked properly, because if not, then they dry the shit out of it.
Yeah, right. But it looked like a steak burrito. Like, you take a big burrito from Chicago, and you cut it down the middle, and you split it like that. Yeah. That's exactly what a bicentennial
now
was.
Now we're talking really sexy.
Yeah. And it came with these.
Are you hard?
I'm getting very horny.
I'm thinking about this again. It's a semi. But it came with this these like fire charred carrots. And it was one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life. And it wasn't nearly as expensive as steakhouse was.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
We got Wayne bringing in a barrel of
It's not even cooked yet. Look at that, Jim. I'm glad I didn't make that sandwich, because he told me that you were going to be here with food ready.
I didn't know it was going to be grilled.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Let me smell that.
It's got a nice little scent.
Wayne, come put your loin in my face.
Put your...
Oh, my God. That smells absolutely delicious.
All right. Hey, man, I got a question. Why? Oh, man. Come on.
Man, we're all going to get trigonosis.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. I went in my beer,
You're starting the fucking coronavirus,
that's
I say.
That's back in the day. You can eat a fucking...
Don't get Jim started.
Hey, Jim, how about that coronavirus?
Don't get me started.
All right. I'm ready for a cigarette.
All right.
What we're going to do now is we are going to take a quick pause. We're going to come back in.
And we're going to eat Cubans.
Yeah, Wayne should get these Cubans started. Cubanos. So we'll probably cut out. Quick cigarette break. I'm not going to smoke, but these guys are. We'll see you in a quick second.
He's lying. Smoke cigarettes. He's lying.